This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Hi, this is Jennifer Davies. I'm the Assistant Dean of External Affairs at UC San Diego Extension, and we're here for another edition of Career Talk. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome Laura Dietrich. She serves as the director of the Institute for Nonprofit Research and Education at University of San Diego, not to be confused with the University of California at San Diego, and she has a long history in the nonprofit world. So she's here to sort of demystify that world and give us some advice about if one is interested in it, what does one do? So thank you so much for being here, Laura.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
So just to get us started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in the nonprofit world? I know it's pretty long and varied, so.
Oh, I will keep it short. So like most people, I graduated from college and took one of the first jobs that I ever, that I was offered, and that was in a for-profit retail setting, and I learned a lot about business and different things, and then my life turned different twists and turns, and I ended up working at a nonprofit. I didn't realize that it was a nonprofit because I didn't have that distinction in my mind at the time. But I was working at a place where we were raising money for public education, something I believed in, a cause and a purpose that I believed in. And lo and behold, it happened to be a nonprofit. So I didn't seek out the nonprofit sector like some people do. I just ended up there and I started learning more about that work and that sector. And one day a flyer came across my desk and it said, get your master's degree. And so then I kind of went from there. And in nonprofit management, that sort of demonstrates to you how the field has professionalized as a career space. So I got my master's degree and I continued to work in a nonprofit, and then I consulted to nonprofits and I got my PhD.
Oh my goodness.
And there you can get a PhD in these things. You don't have to have that to work in the field, but to work in academia that you do. So now I teach what I was doing at the time in that space. So kind of a long circuitous route, but lots of consulting to different nonprofits and different things along the way, and working with students who work in all kinds of organizations across the sector.
So when you saw that flyer for a master's come across your desk, what about it was appealing to you? I mean, was it sort of, you know, we all...
Yeah. Well, originally appealing was that I'd been, remember, out of college for about 12 or 15 years. I didn't have to take the GRE. So at the time, anyway. What was appealing about it to me was I'd wanted to get a master's, and I just didn't know, I didn't want an MBA. An executive, a traditional MBA. And so what this program was, and still is actually at USD, is an executive MBA for folks that run nonprofits. So even though I was an executive director at that time, nonprofits are very flat in terms of a career space. And so you oftentimes, maybe if you're in a small organization, you can ascend to the executive director position very quickly from, you know, the second in command to, you know, the top right away, and there's not much in between, and you can have knowledge gaps. And I looked at the coursework and I thought that these courses filled in some of those knowledge gaps I had by not working up a traditional career ladder.
Now, you said that the structure in nonprofits are very flat. Talk a little bit about that and sort of why that is, and that's different from, you know, corporate America. So talk about that difference, and then we can talk about some more differences.
Well, it's different from what I think people think of when they think of corporate America. But if you think of the whole scope of corporate America, most of the corporations in America, nonprofits included, are mom and pops. They're small to mid-size. I mean, I think we think of Google and IBM and the corporate world and that when we think of corporations. So most nonprofits are small. Most have fewer than four employees. Just like the regular business community. So oftentimes there's few employees doing many things in these smaller organizations. At the other end of the scale, there are very large multi-billion dollar nonprofits with, if you think of hospitals and universities and large social service agencies, where they have, I would say, a much more traditional structure of, you know, you start entry level and you move your way up. But in these smaller, more grassroots organizations, could just be four or five of you, and you could be the executive director of your own business or company quite quickly. Or you can start a nonprofit. You know, it's not something I recommend to people to do without a lot of research and thinking, but they're not hard to start, just like it's not hard to start a business. They are businesses. I want to be clear about that.
So they are businesses, but they're different. So again, we've talked about that they're similar, and there's different sizes and shapes and, you know, missions. But if you're someone who, you know, people say, oh, I have a calling to be a nonprofit. I mean, do you hear that from your students, and do you hear that from people, and then do you have to, you know, dive down and say, what does that mean?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, they have a calling to a cause. I'm not sure. Then they have to figure out what corporate structure fits their cause. And, you know, we know a lot about current college students and millennials, per se, wanting to do work that's meaningful to them in companies where they're, you know, fair business practices, good to the environment, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that work ends up being in the nonprofit space. But what really differentiates them, and I think this is an important point when you ask me what's the difference, and then we're going to get to it in a few minutes, I think the skills needed. In the nonprofit world, you're working towards what we call a double bottom line. So in the for-profit world, your job is to get profit to return to your shareholders' profit. You're profit-driven. In the nonprofit world, you're driven to do both. So some people think that nonprofits can't make profit. And that's just a misnomer. You have to make as much profit as you possibly can. You just can't redistribute it to shareholders. You have to spend it on your mission. Mm-hmm. So we call it a double bottom line, essentially, mm-hmm. delivering financial bottom line, but as well as a return to the mission, your purpose. Mm-hmm. You have to achieve your mission. So mm-hmm. you're really looking at both of those things. And that's just one more thing to manage. And it's another layer of complexity mm-hmm. that makes the work really interesting.
So, you know, no one, they've said, goes into the nonprofit world to get rich. I mean, there's some good salaries there. Mm-hmm. But what is the truth in terms of nonprofit salaries, and sort of when you're counseling people, if you're interested in nonprofit, these are sort of the challenges, the realities you're going to have to face?
So I think this is an important thing to think about, especially for newly graduated students and folks. We're having some real, what we would say, breaks in the career pipeline or some stoppages. It's hard to move into nonprofit work if you graduate with a boatload of student debt. Mm-hmm. We know that that's keeping people from that place. So yes, there's a misnomer. It's just like any other sector. There are good jobs and there are bad jobs. What I find is that sometimes newly graduated people or people that are looking to switch to the nonprofit sector, they are really driven by the cause and the mission. So they tend to gravitate towards these really small grassroots organizations where they're not going to be paid well, some of the, you know, in large part. And there will be sort of some of that mental picture we have, I think, where people are just working and doing the best with what they have. Whereas there are plenty of places to enter the sector. I think you would want to enter at a place where a larger organization that has stability, that has benefits, that pays a good wage, those places exist. They tend to be in larger organizations, which sometimes, for people, depending on how connected and passionate they are about the mission, is not where they go first.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like the, you know, Bicycle Coalition versus the United Way is the kind of
base. Yes. And so the message I really want to leave you with is there are plenty of good jobs. There are plenty of jobs that pay well where you get where you can get benefits. So I don't want people to shy away from that, but you do have to look for those jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is interesting. I was looking, I think it was actually the nonprofit report for San Diego. I mean, mm-hmm. there's over 2,200 nonprofits, mm-hmm. And the total wages on an annual basis paid is $5.2 billion, and it's 8.1% of San Diego's employment. So it's not a small sector.
No, it's not by any stretch. And actually, that 2,200 is just the organizations that have paid employees. So there's really about 9,000 nonprofits. That shows you between the 9,000 and the 2,200, that whole space, those are volunteer organizations, mm-hmm. all volunteer. So no one's getting paid at those. But yeah, in terms of an employment sector, it is. And during the recession, the nonprofit sector nationally was the only sector that exhibited continuous job growth through the whole recession. They called it a sort of a recession-proof industry. Oh. Not that anyone was getting rich, but we did not see negative job growth nationally or in San Diego in terms of nonprofit employees over the recession.
And what did they attribute that to? Is it just...
There was a lot of demand for service during that time, okay. A lot of demand for social services. So we have a different supply and demand function. So people were needing nonprofit services more. There was some stuff around the growth in healthcare too. And mm-hmm. a lot of people went back to school. A lot of nonprofits are education based. So there's a bunch of different reasons.
Well, we talked a little bit about maybe some of the drawbacks of working for a nonprofit, kind of a shoestring operation, depending on salaries, depending on where you are. But I mean, there's got to be positives. I mean, if it's like three or four of you and you're putting on a show, one would think you'd get to do a lot of different things.
Well, yeah, so you're 25 years old and you're an executive director of a nonprofit and that you can move up the ladder quickly. There's not some of the traditional restrictions on the roles you can take up and play. So that's one benefit. I think another benefit is really it is a meaning. It sounds kind of, pulling on the heartstrings a little bit, but it is a meaningful place to do work. And if you're connected to your work, you're going to be, that much, I think, more fulfilled in your career. So I think you can meet a lot of different and interesting people and work in the community and really understand what's going on in the community, maybe more so than if you're, in a QB, mm-hmm. in a financial institution downtown somewhere. It's mm-hmm. just you really can really broaden your perspective of the world, and the work is enriching, and you can see the results of your work pretty quickly sometimes.
So what advice, I think we've touched on a little bit, but what advice would you give to someone who's interested in mm-hmm. going into the nonprofit world? I mean, you were sort of saying don't mm-hmm. have a lot of student debt because that kind of limits your choices.
Well,
if you have any say in the matter, but what do they need to be doing in college, or what do they need mm-hmm. to be doing in terms of if they're in transition and they want to make this transition?
Well, you can enter into the sector with any background. Okay, so if you're a nurse, if you're a financial planner, a marketing person, those jobs exist in the nonprofit sector as well. So you can come with a professional skill set and work in the sector. And I think just if you were looking for just a general path, good business management principles are also important. Then there's a flip side of the coin. I just did a little informal survey with CEOs around San Diego about what kind of skills do you want, the next nonprofit leaders to have. And it was so funny or interesting to me. They were really around what I would call soft skills.
The thing with every...
Well, this ability to work in teams, this ability to be able to relate to multiple stakeholders. So in the nonprofit sector, there's this, there's another sort of differentiating point where the people that pay for services mm-hmm. aren't often the people that are receiving the services. So the donor to your soup kitchen is not the person who's coming to receive that meal. Mm-hmm. And if you're the person in that intervening space, mm-hmm. you have to kind of manage all of that because that donor may want to give you money for something that your clients don't really need. So what I kind of like to say is there's this whole piece around stakeholder engagement and management that requires these soft skills of listening, of being able to work well with all different kinds of people. And so I would say take some courses in leadership development mm-hmm. As well.
Well, when you talk to, corporations or companies, that mm-hmm. they also say internships. That is, if we don't see an internship, we don't think you're ready for the world of work. Is that true with nonprofits, or is there the bar a little lower?
It's not that it's lower. It's that in the nonprofit sector, you don't see as many paid internships.
Uh-huh.
So they are definitely internships galore available to you, and you should take one. And I would another way to sort of look at that is you can volunteer. Mm-hmm. And that's not, so you don't even have to get a formal mm-hmm. internship. You can volunteer at an organization and sort of say, do I like the culture here? Do I like the mm-hmm. fit? Do I like what they're accomplishing? So you can kind of road test an organization or make your entree into an organization, because I think it's kind of hard to get internships right now.
Oh, okay.
In general. So.
So now we know that everything's changing mm-hmm. because of big data. And I know that that is impacting the nonprofit world.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what big data is and how it's impacting nonprofits and sort of the upside or what are some of the issues that nonprofits are having to work through with that.
Well, it's no longer enough to ask your donors just to trust you that you're doing good work with their investment or their money. You have to be able to demonstrate measurable outcomes. And for a long time, nonprofits didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know,
it was just the cause, it was enough.
The brand, you gave to Goodwill, the United Way, there was a trusted brand, etc. And then some of that still goes on, but more and more, especially after the recession, where resources are scarce, funders and other folks are sort of saying, I want my investment into this organization, it's much more for kind of a for-profit viewpoint, to demonstrate, to achieve some kind of outcome. And the problem is that some nonprofits aren't prepared and ready to talk about what that is or measure that. Mm-hmm. So the biggest change, I think, in the sector for me in the last 5 years is this movement to be able to actually measure and articulate clearly what you achieve mm-hmm. in terms of your mission.
And so I can imagine a lot of like old school nonprofits that being really different because they've been storytelling in a different way, anecdotal mm-hmm. or the brand. So if you see this shift and you're interested in the nonprofit world, what kind of skills and personality traits do you sort of need to kind of be able to succeed in this kind of evolving and new world of nonprofits?
I think you just have to have an analytical brain for some of that kind of work. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to be totally numbers driven all of the mm-hmm. time, but you have to understand how to, gather data, get statistics, report on information that's meaningful. So I think some of those analytical skills. The other side of the coin is a real mindset for strategy. Mm-hmm. How do, is what we've always done the right way to do it? Some of that kind of questioning of basic assumptions, the ability to think like that and to be a critical thinker, I guess I would say, is imperative mm-hmm. to be able to achieve sort of success and compete. So for a long time, the word competition was never mentioned in the nonprofit sector, but we are competing and cooperating, but for a large degree, competing for a shrinking pie of resources. So those that can distinguish themselves that way, and there are many that can, are going to start to see, I think, more of the resources coming their way.
I mean, so you talk broadly. Are there certain classes or certain, do you need Excel? Do you need to, do you need programming languages, that's good at crunching numbers? Or is that, are nonprofits source, taking those out and you just need to be able to conceptualize what the data question is? Or...
Well, I think in some nonprofits, you could have departments dedicated to data analysis if you were big enough. But again, I think you conceptualized it correctly. It's this ability to understand whether you're in the fundraising department, delivering programs, in the executive wing, managing, whatever, the business, that you can understand why at all of those levels, why it's important to be able to report back on what you're doing. So specific classes, I'm not going to tell anyone to go take. You probably should be computer proficient no matter what in this workplace. And if you've got social media capacity and web capacity, and I think that's a lovely mm-hmm. skill set to have and offer, distinguishes you from, I think, a lot of what's currently in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. I think just a good rounded, well-rounded understanding of finance is helpful too.
Well, it's interesting because we think of nonprofit as monolithic, but there are all these different departments.
Sure.
Sort of, what are the bigger departments? I mean, is fundraising the biggest one, or development, or typically is it programmatic?
Typically it would be, there's sort of these three bodies, I think, in most organizations. Now, sometimes somebody does a little bit of all of them, right? But you got people that are in the program area that are delivering direct services. They're running the program. So if you think about a Boys and Girls Club, they're the ones after school running those programs with kids, working actually with kids. And then there are folks that are in the development department, which would be equate to fundraising and marketing and those kinds of things. Then you have a finance. You could have a finance department. You would have a some have dedicated HR departments, but oftentimes, usually those folks are wearing several hats, and so HR skills definitely needed, I think, as well. If you have any of those backgrounds, you can find yourself a job in the nonprofit sector.
And so again, I think we touched on it a little bit, but again, personality trait. I mean, obviously, we have our little millennials that want to do good, but is there a fundamental personality difference between someone who wants to work in a corporate environment versus a nonprofit, and could, or that you've seen, or personality traits?
Well, they say that the nonprofit sector is the caring sector, but I don't think that people care less in the corporate sector, so I'd hate to set it up as a either-or proposition. I will tell you that the nonprofit sector is made up of, I believe the latest study showed, 75% women.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting? But yet 40%, only 40% hold CEO jobs, right? So we have the same problems. We have the same gender differentials in pay as well. I think you have to, again, I don't want to couch it as one has this and one doesn't, mm-hmm. but I will tell you what makes people successful. As an ethical bent, mm-hmm. you have to be accountable to multiple people. If you own your own private company, you don't have to tell anybody what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But if you work at an owner nonprofit, you have to be willing to share and be transparent all of your business practices. And some people aren't comfortable with that and don't feel like they owe the greater community any reporting mm-hmm. or accountability for their business practices. So you have to be able to have that kind of, you know, mindset, I think makes it a lot different. And that multiple stakeholder engagement management piece, it's not a one-to-one relationship like it is in the for-profit sector. When I just buy my Starbucks, if I don't like it, I can tell you, you know, there's this sort of whole intervening, mitigating space that that you have to have the leadership skills to take up.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. I actually think we're out of time, but this was a bit fascinating. I really do appreciate your time here today.
Thank you so much for having me.